and it's always refreshing to hear his voice. You go to the website, you'll find plenty of his messages there. We're preparing some music CDs for you, that we will be giving you one if you want one. But I appreciate God. I appreciate the church. Many of you know the story. I moved down here to become a part of this church while we retired here. And the first Sunday we came, Madison was being born. So when you look at Madison, that's how long I've been here, amen, me and my wife. But God's been good to us. So you remember these things. If you can't make it, we want you to watch on Facebook or on the website. But we want you to be here. So everybody watching, we invite you to come. We'll do everything we can to make you comfortable within reason, amen. And we appreciate so much. But we're glad that we do have this technology and those that know what to do with it, or that we can do that, amen. It's a blessing, and we pray that it will be a blessing to those that listen to it. And there is quite a few from what I understand, amen. Amen. Y'all appreciate Brother Billy?
Looking for amen. Good to be back with you all. Enjoyed that singing, playing, Brother Ricky. That was a blessing. And you know that one song we were singing there made me think of, I remember one little quip, you know, Brother Ike would put in a song, you know, when you were singing. I'm sure Emily thought about it. Most of you did. And you just never forget that kind of stuff. You know, I can be going down the road somewhere, just out of the blue, get to thinking about him, and it's still real, you know what? It's still real, and I know it is for you too. And loved him like a daddy, still love him like a daddy. Going to meet him again, amen. You got your Bible, look with us into the book of Luke. The book of Luke, we're going to look in Luke and look in Matthew. And when I read these texts, you're going to wonder what time of the year it is. Because, you know, these are typical Christmas season, you know, Christ's birth celebration messages. But we're going to see a truth in here I think God would like us to focus in on a little bit and glean from. And we're going to look into Luke chapter 1, and began reading in verse number 5. Luke 1, verse 5. There was in the days of Herod the king of Judea a certain priest named Zacharias. Very important that you know his name. We're going to nickname him Zach for the sermon today. And so this is where so many Zachs we hear about. That's where that's a strong name, strong Bible name, isn't it? You see it way back into the early genealogies of the Word of God. So here he is, a certain priest, which means he's a faith man. He understands the calling. He understands what it means to believe God. And he's not out of touch with that. And so something happens in his life. And I'm going to maybe liken this sometimes to where we are in our walk. Things happen in our life, don't they? You know, if we could all look back and pinpoint things that we thought life would be when we were kids or teenagers or young adults, and so many of us are still, we're all young. But let's get that out of the way right now. We're all young. Amen. Can I hear an amen? We're all young. And so when we think about what it would be when we were children and teenagers and we're speculating and trying to see forward, there's things that's transpired and happened that we didn't plan for, and we couldn't see them. And it's because God doesn't always let us see over the hill or around the curve. And there's a reason for that, because God wants us to be hopeful people and people that walk by faith and people that trust God. And so if we saw the whole picture right now, well, that would just take away from the expectation. And so God wants us to expect, amen. You watch his word when you read the scripture, and you'll see it, that the expectation is a strong word that breathes hope into the hearts of God's people. And so if we lost our expectation, what would we be? And so young people expect to grow up and be successful and have wonderful families and all of these things and whatever God's planted in their heart, they expect that. And that's what drives us. And so here, we know that Zacharias understands these things. He's an older gentleman. And the word said that his wife was barren and had no child. Verse 7, they had no child because Elizabeth was barren. Well, she couldn't control that. And they both were now well stricken in years. So they've climbed the ladder of age, haven't they? And so they're at a place that now they're not expecting. You would have to say it. They're not expecting a child. And probably if outside of a miracle of God might have even ticked them off a little bit. Don't know about that one. But we know they're not expecting because the word said she's well stricken in years. And it came to pass while he executed the priest's office. Now that's his job. God called him into the priesthood. He's executing. That just means he's performing what God's called him to perform. And so he's about his business. And not just about his business. Let's get this one off the table real clear. Because it's not just our business we're executing. It's his business. Amen. Jesus did say, we got a record of this, where he said, I must be about my Father's business. Amen. Well, that's what Zach was doing. Zach was just doing his Father's business. And according, watch now. According to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense. And so he's doing that. Verse 10, the whole multitude of people were praying without. They're out, just means they're outside. And so they're out there praying. And he's in there executing the office. And here comes, lo and behold, there appeared an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar. I got a feeling Zach ain't had a day like this day. The angel of God is there. You know it was glorious. And so these angelic beings, we read of them, we don't have to speculate, because we read of them many times in human form. Well, I think the last message I preached here, two angels of God come to Abe's house and knocked on his tent door and told him, say, hey, we're headed down to Sodom. And he said, hold it, I got some folks I need to talk to you about. One's named Lot, one's named Lot's wife, and got two youngins in there that we know of. We know there's two daughters because they had sons-in-laws. And so whatever Lot's family size was, the angel of God appeared and talked. And so just as he appeared and talked to Abraham, he's appearing and talking to Zach. And so old brother Zach has met an angel. You know, it says something about that. Hebrews 13 talks about that. And he says something about that we're to not to be forgetful to entertain strangers. Why come? For some have entertained angels unawares. Now I want to share experience with you, and I'm not putting too much stock, and I'm certainly not saying for sure. So don't go say, Brother Billy said. Not for sure, anyway. I stopped and picked up a man one day, and this was 30 years ago in Dothan. He needed a ride. I gave him a ride. And so went as far as he was going that way. And I'm not telling you that man was angelic, but I'm telling you he knew a lot about the Word of God, and there was a lot of mysteries about that. And that's as far as I'm saying. I'm not speculating any further than that. And just a lot of things that the common person wouldn't know about church history or the Word of God or whatever. And I just thought it. I was probably scratching my head more so after I dropped him off than it was before I picked him up. I'll leave it there. And so we don't know, do we? That's what he's talking about. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for some have entertained angels, and they didn't even know about it. It happens. And so, well, Zach knows about it. He sees it. And Brother Zacharias saw him,
And he was troubled, and fear fell on him. And the angel said unto him, Fear not, for thy prayer is heard. And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son. Now watch, did you notice that part about thy prayer is heard? Let's not forget, he's praying for it. And he said, your prayer is heard. Now we're going to see something very interesting right here, because he's praying for it. And we read by that so many times trying to get out of this angel part, we forget he's praying for it. What are you praying for that you're expecting God to do, but if he does it, you ain't going to believe it. And you ain't going to receive it. And you, not only that, but you're going to doubt it. And so he's praying, evidently. Listen, I don't think the angel's lying to you. He said your prayer's heard. God's heard your prayer. He's dispatched me to tell you right in here, just me and you alone. Remember, he's over on the right side of the altar. All them folks outside praying, worshiping. Some of them might have been rolling dice. I don't know what they're doing. But he was in there executing the priest's office. And so the angel of God said, your prayer's heard. And he said, no way, Jose. My prayer cannot be heard. Watch now. See, your prayer's heard, and your wife's going to bear a son, and you're going to call his name John, and you're going to have joy and gladness and rejoice, and he's going to be great in the sight of the Lord, and he's going to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Let's don't forget about this part. I mean, this ain't just any old boy. This is John the Baptist. God give him the privilege of siring. That means, you know, he caused the conception. And so he sired. He sired John the Baptist. That's a thrill, ain't it? I mean, one of the greatest men ever walked on the face of God's earth, and you're going to get to be Pa. And he said, I can't believe that. And so, listen, this is us sometimes. We ain't picking on Brother Zacharias. But what do? We pray for things, then God's about doing his business, and then we begin doubting. Well, that can't happen. Maybe they went to the altar, but it can't be real. It ain't been real all them other times. It can't be real. And we doubt. And so this is where he is. And what happens is, Zacharias has caused some issues in his life because of his doubt. Go down a little bit into verse 19. And if you watch 18, you'll see Zachariah wanted to know, whereby shall I know this? Which means, give me a sign there, Brother Angel. He said, you don't need a sign. He said, matter of fact, I'm going to take some things away. The angel answering him said, I am Gabriel. Did you know, as far as we know, there's only two angels in the Word of God called by name. Only two, and one of them is Gabriel. And so Gabriel's not just any old angel, by the way. And so we've got him by name. And so Gabriel, he said, I'm Gabriel that stands in the presence of God and sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak unto the day which that shall be performed, because thou believest not my words. Cost him, didn't it? And so he goes out and his mumble jumble, and they're trying to figure out what he's trying to say and can't make sense of it. And some of them think he had a medical emergency in there, but he didn't. He had a spiritual emergency. And there was no ambulance called. But I will tell you of a surety, old Brother Zach went home with a heavy heart. Yeah. Because he doubted God. He had his opportunity to be right in the divine presence of God. And this is what I want you to hear, church. Sometimes the very thing we pray for, if God did it, would we believe it? And if he did it, would we thank him? Did you see any thanks here? He said, hey, your wife is going to, listen, that's that well-stricken and aged woman we was just talking about in the first 7 or 8 verses. That woman's going to bring forth a child, and he's going to be great. And Zacharias, like, I ain't sure I can believe that, old Brother Angel. And so he chose not to. He's robbing himself. He ain't robbing Elizabeth. Elizabeth, we're going to see in a minute, Elizabeth's rejoicing. He's robbing himself.
And so what do we have to do? We got to get the doubt out, because the doubt steals the joy. Stealing the joy in the man's life. And he not only goes home heavy-hearted and confused and troubled, but all he can do, I'm not even going to try to imitate how he's trying to talk, but it's a mess, ain't it? He can't say one word. I had an old great uncle, couldn't say much, and his name was William, but we called him Sambo. That's all we knew, because there's so many Williams in the family, they had to give him some other name to identify him. And so it's kind of like there was an instance in there, one of the old Andy Griffith episodes. We ain't got time for that. But in this, Uncle Sambo, he couldn't talk, couldn't say anything. And when what little bit he could say, some folks could understand him, but most folks couldn't. So we just agreed with him. And so that's what they're doing. They're all just agreeing with John. Not John, but agreeing with Zacharias, because they don't know what he's saying. They can't understand it. And so he came and found out, look down into 24, it came to pass, as the days of his ministration was accomplished, he departed to his own house. 24 said, and after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived. So he's not that old. She's conceived. They both old, but they ain't that old. Spirit of God's working here. And the word said, hid herself 5 months. And so for 5 months, I'm not even sure that old brother Zach knows about it. Leads you to believe that he don't. And so thus hath the Lord dealt with me in these days, wherein he looked. You know, if he'd have known about it, he probably would have went to talking about how his Social Security wasn't adequate enough to raise another younger. That's what people do today. God does something miraculous, and they're like, oh yeah, but we can't afford that, and you know, we ain't got time for that. And so Zacharias, for 5 months, he knows nothing, nothing. And so in the 6th month, Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph. Now, I told you this is going to sound like a December message, but you got to see this, church. We're talking about two women, and two men that God has performed. Same angel. The same angel has performed. The other angel's name, by the way, that's listed, I told you there's only two by name, is Michael and Gabriel. That's it. Only two, sis. Ain't that amazing? And so all those other angels in the Word of God, and we know there's lots of them, and we know they're very powerful. You remember back in the Assyrian captivity, where God, in the book of Isaiah, sent one angel and slew, that one angel slew 185,000 men just like that. 185,000. One angel. And he wasn't even one of the premier angels that had a name. So Gabriel shows up. Same Gabriel that just showed up to Zacharias, now he's showing up to another young lady by the name of Mary, who's not as wise, who doesn't work down at the temple, who's not in the business of offering up sacrifices to God. She's just a little maiden woman. And so I don't know about her education. I don't know about her background, what side of the track she's raised on. I don't know. But I know one thing. That same angel came to her, and you're going to see this for the sake of time, that she has come over and spent some time with Elizabeth, who's her cousin. And Elizabeth, listen, the doubt in the heart of Zacharias did not stop the blessing in the womb of Elizabeth, did it? Didn't stop the blessing. Just stopped it for Zach, not for Elizabeth. And so sometimes the ones we rob, we rob ourselves of the joy. Well, they're over there. She's down there visiting, and they're talking about what's going on. And Miss Elizabeth said, look, you know what happened? Today there was a baby that leaped in my womb. And she saw all that gray hair, all that gone hair. And she said, what? And Elizabeth believed God, and she is rejoicing. You see that? She is on fire for what God's doing.
laying the groundwork here, but I want you to see this. So she's believed God, and we got another example here of a man who can't believe God. So she's in faith, and Brother Zacharias is not. But there's still joy in the house. And so as we see it right here, as Mary, I want you to look back with me to Matthew 1:20. I want to read a couple of things right here. I think I add to the text. Matthew 1:19, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example. Now, this is a whole different scenario, right? We know the story. They're not bonded in, they are married, it's her husband. But he don't know what's going on in the background. And so he's like, hey, you know, I'm thinking about just bowing out of this thing and putting her away privily. That means privately. That's old-timer talk. That's Bible talk. And so he think, I'm just going to put her away because I don't know. Maybe, you know, there's something going on in the background. And so they hadn't been married very long. And he can do the math, right? You know, basic math. It gets you a lot of figuring just on its own. And so he's thinking about putting her away, but the angel of God shows up. And while he thought on these things, verse 20, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, take not unto, pardon me, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife. For that which is conceived of her is of the Holy Ghost. It's of the Holy Ghost. God's doing it. Amen. And so Joseph, I'm going to show you a difference right here in what faith does. Now, we talked about Zechariah. We know that Zechariah had trouble wrapping his spiritual arms around what the angel of God just said. But the same angel has appeared and spoke the same message. And here we find it that Zacharias is doubting, his doubt has got him so spiritually bound up, he can't worship, he can't sing, he can't audibly pray. This is what doubt will do. Also, we can say this, doubt/sin. Because whatsoever is not of faith is what? It's sin. It's what the Word said. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. We find that in the book of Romans. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So his doubt has turned into sin in his life. Unbelief is sin. We say, preacher, you know, it was just a little mediocre thing that I doubted God about. He told me if I'd do this, he'd do that, and I wouldn't believe him. Well, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And so Zacharias over, he can't say a word because mum's the word with him because of his sin and his unbelief. But then we find it where Mary, as she comes and meets and greets with Elizabeth, she's got tidings to share with her, and they are. This is where we get, the joy of Mary's heart, and she is celebrating, and she's talking about how her soul is blessed, and how God has chose her, and God is using her. And so all of these things are happening, and what we find is that our faith determines our result. Zacharias is not rejoicing. Can't say anything. You say, well, maybe he's rejoicing on the inside. I don't know. I think he's probably a little embarrassed myself. And kind of keeping to himself a little while because of his doubt. His doubt. See this now. Look over with me into, I think of the spot I want to show you. It was Matthew 1:20. We didn't read the text I was looking for right there. You're waiting on me. But in Matthew 1:20, I want you to see this, because here, what we find is, we see a man by the name of Joseph, who's a man of character. You know, even when he thought, I'm going to put her away, he wasn't going to make a spectacle of her. He wasn't going to do that. He's going to put her away privately.
he thought there were some things went on, and he's, you know, I'm just, look, I know it ain't mine. I can do the calendar thing, blah, blah, blah. I'm going to put her away privately. Character in his heart, a man of decency, a man God used and chose. But see this. Joseph, her husband, verse 19, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But when he thought on these things, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him. Now watch. People said, preacher, I don't hold an office at the church. I don't hold an office in the community. David didn't either. Joseph didn't either. Joseph wasn't a man of foot. He wasn't a man well known. When he walked down the street like Zacharias, nobody like, oh, brother Joseph, I want to be associated with him. You know, he'll bring my status up in the community. What, none of that. He was a simple man, as far as we know, a plain man, a working man, an honest man, and a man that was of low degree and of humility. And if he did put his wife away, it wasn't going to be with a lot of fanfare. And you know what he done? That marked him so different? He believed God. He believed God. And this is what this is where we get the whole Hebrews 11. We're talking about simple people that were made very special because they believed God. Hebrews 11 is full of those kind of folks. And Joseph could have been one of those. But while he thought on these things, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream and said, fear not, that which is conceived of her is of the Holy Ghost. I told you he was wondering how immaculate the conception was. Yeah, he was wondering about this conception thing. Look, there's many. Yes, it's not uncommon for young people, married or unmarried, to be worried about this conception thing. I mean, that's pretty common. Can we all agree with that one? And so here, he's concerned about it. He wants to do the right thing. And because his heart's in the right place, God just kindly dispatches an angel down there to calm his nerves. They had a blessing. Oh, preacher, that happens to me every week. Sure it does. Yeah, that's pretty special, amen, when God sends an angel by to tell you everything's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. That's what he said. Fear not. It's going to be all right. That which is conceived is of the Holy Ghost. And so, here is Mary. As he told her, she shall bring forth a son, going to call his name Jesus. In verse 24, then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him. See, this is the key, is obedience. Our doubt steals our faith. Our doubt steals our joy. And it steals our obedience, does it not? When we doubt something, look, if we believe something's going to happen, somebody says, hey, 747's about to hit this building any minute. If we believe that, we're headed out the door. We ain't worried about the preacher being done or not. We're gone. Out. If we believe that. But if we don't believe that, see, this is where obedience comes down to the practical everyday living. What do we really believe? And so Zacharias encounters an angel of God, but he can't believe. You see it? So what we do in America and in the church age is we associate people with their stature. We're like, oh yeah, that sister over there, she's got it all figured out. No, she don't. Oh, that brother over there, he knows everything. He knows everything about this and that, and he's got it all. Man, he's just got all his I's dotted and T's crossed and no, they don't. That's what they're thinking about Zacharias, and he's in there with the angel of God, and he still don't believe. Yeah. I mean, he's in there with him. Yeah. He's like, I can't believe that. And Zacharias comes out, he's like, what happened to him? How you doing, Zacharias? And so he can't say anything for 9 long months because he won't believe God. Isn't that something? Now you talk about a shouting spell. When that tongue got loosed, I bet he learned how to shout. And we forget about this stuff because it's so like, oh yeah, that's a Christmas message. But it's so true. And in the principles, we're not focusing just on the Lord's birth, but what about these truths around the Lord's birth here? And so Joseph being raised from sleep, watch this, did, that's the important part, he did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and he took unto him his wife. And you don't talk about integrity. He knew her not until her firstborn, she brought forth her firstborn son. It's integrity. It's quite a waiting spell, what? But he's waiting. And so what happens? People say, yeah, that fellow over there, this is what we do. We categorize folks. And we say, oh, yeah, he's got his hair parted right, got this going right, and he's the best dressed in class. He's got it all figured out. And then comes along a little fellow by the name of Joseph who just believes God and obeys him. He ain't no fanfare. He's not looking for a show. He's not wanting lightning bolts and smoking pots of incense going up. He just wants to believe God. Amen. And he don't have to run around telling everybody. He just wants to believe him. And this is the interesting thing. This is like the last and only thing we know about Joseph. Isn't that amazing? You say, hey, preacher, he's a great hero of faith. That's right, he is, but he ain't on the list. He's not on the list in Hebrews 11. He's not there. We read about some rascals that are there, don't we? Yeah, there's some rascals on there. But God's got some rascals he saved and he's ministering to and he's got them along the way. And leave them alone because they're God's rascals. They're God's rascals. And so, here we see it. You know, it's like a big family. My mom come out of a big family. Most of that generation had big families because they needed youngins to work. Needed some hands on the farm. Cotton pickers. And so my mom come out of a big family. I find this very interesting. My granddaddy he was feeding 9 youngins and was married by the time he was 15. Now, he married at 15 and had 9 younguns when he was 15. He was married when he was 15. And shortly thereafter, by the time he was 20, because I had some twins, he was feeding 9 folks. Isn't that amazing? Feeding 9 people. And when the railroad called him and offered him a job, don't you reckon he was proud to catch it? Woo, he's proud. And so this is what we're talking about. All these youngins, people got big families. Brother, I come out of a big family. A lot of you have big families. And so everybody's not different. Because they got the same DNA doesn't mean they have the same amount of faith. And so some are more astute in the community than others, and others are simply just want to do what God called them to do with no fanfare. And this is, you see the difference we're painting here in David, not David, I keep saying David, but we're talking about Joseph and Zacharias. The difference was not the things you see. The difference was what you can't see, and that was Joseph's amount of faith. And so we never find another ounce of discord or any discord in Joseph and Mary's life. And Zacharias just waiting to get his speech back. Finally, it happens. He's got to be embarrassed a little bit. You know, some of them smart alecks come by and say, well, Brother Zacharias, what happened to you? Why can't you talk no more? And he's got to wait, you know, 9 months before he can even explain it. And so we see this. We see the simplicities of the Word of God. But I want you to grab a hold of this in closing right here. What is it? What is it about us that makes us shy away from the simple things of God's gospel? You know, if the gospel was hard, I would understand why people oppose it.
But the gospel of God is simple. And we see it in this passage right here, where he sent it to those. And you know who those were? The whosoever wills. You know what Mary said? Be it unto me according to thy word. Simple faith. When God showed up to Elizabeth and told her that she was going to bring forth a child, and she talked about her age a little bit, but it didn't steal her faith. She was happy to bring God's servant into the world. And she knew how old she was. She was happy. Mary understood. It might look wrong. It might look different. What will people think? What's Joseph's reaction going to be? Be it unto me according to thy word. And then old brother Zach's in there, and the Spirit of God's trying to do something mighty in his life, and he just won't receive it. Won't receive it. Won't receive it. But you know what? When that tongue got loosed, he received it, didn't he? Yeah, he done figured out how to glorify God. Let's stand together this morning. You know what I want? Me included at the top of this list. I want to learn how to glorify God better. Amen. Be more obedient to the simple call. Be more obedient to the daily things. You said, preacher, I can't do anything astronomical. Well, none of us can unless God gets in it. But little as much if God is in it. Amen. Mary showed us that. Elizabeth showed us that. Oh, they were shouting and worshiping God. They were obedient to the faith God called them to. They were just in absolute joy and celebration of what was going on. And they're like, you ain't going to believe what happened to me. And I said, that ain't nothing. Look what happened to me. And old brother Zach's over there, all he can do is hum a little bit. You know, he can't say nothing. And Joseph's believing God, and God's ministered to him and settled some things in his heart. Listen, it ain't always the great things, church. Sometimes we just need God to do some inside things and settle some things in our heart and give us some answers that bring us peace. That's what we need. And that's what we have to ask God for. Brother Donnie's going to come close, as you will. If you need prayer this morning or an increase of faith, can I say something about that in coming? We find it one time in the Word where the disciples asked Jesus, increase our faith. God give us that. Amen.